Amen. Thank you. Those are some good ones. And one of my, I guess, favorite things to do this week, every year, is post Carmen's song on social media, Sunday's on the Way. I love that song and love that, and I post that just about every year. And I guess I've got a new one to add to mine for things to remember, at least on Easter week, is the night that my wife's phone went off in the middle of the service. Could happen to anybody. Could happen to anybody. At least it was hers. I could make fun of. I couldn't say anything, joke about anybody else doing it. So, but we do that. Well, tonight we're going to look at some more from 1 Peter. We looked last week at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Tonight we're going to look at verses 6 through 9 and take a few minutes there. And, you know, last week those verses talked about our salvation and, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is what starts in verse 3 and says, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's talking about our salvation. Then it ends, that part that we ended with last week says that our salvation is being guarded by God Himself. God of creation is guarding our salvation. Can't be stolen, can't be robbed, can't be taken away from us at all things. And so we're going to look at some passages or the next four verses after that. But first, I've got a question for you too. Only I'm not going to be running up and down the aisles. I just have to have you call it out. What types of suffering do we face in this human body? What types of suffering do we face in our human body, our human lives? Okay, physical and emotional. What are some of those?
Cancer.
What's that?
Cancer.
Cancer. Okay, cancer is one. That's a terrible one. Okay.
Pride.
What was that?
Pride.
That a lot of times we don't consider that suffering, but we suffer with pride, right? And pride issues. What else?
Depression.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. So we have to be careful of a lot of those. What else?
Loss of a loved one,
grief from losing loved ones. Those are all sufferings that we face here. Any others? Did you think of
one?
What's that?
Heart disease.
Okay, heart disease, yeah. So many, you know, that we face. We face all kinds of sufferings in this human body, you know, whether it's ailments, abuse, you know, sexual abuse, spousal abuse, parental abuse, all kinds of things that we see and that we hear about. Grief, as was mentioned, and aging, the aches and pains of aging. I mean, those are sufferings that we all go through. And then there's verbal abuse. There's things that oppress us, like government abuse and different things that we face. All of these are sufferings that we can face in our life. And when suffering comes into a person's life, what are some of the first thoughts that come to mind? Why?
Where is God?
Where is God? Yeah. We question why. We don't always question why God, but we sometimes do. It's, you know, where is God in this? Why is a common response. Whether we're questioning God or not, it's a common response. Why me? Or, how did this happen to me? And, you know, this response is not always because we feel like we're supreme to everybody else. Why did this happen to me? But a lot of times it's because of we consider our lifestyle to be protective of us from that type of suffering. Like the gentleman I talked about last week, a good friend of mine and Pam's in California, who found out 2 weeks ago yesterday that he had cancer. We're following him and his family on Caring Bridge, and the pain and suffering that he's going through all around just is that quick, and it's spread to his brain. So it's got a big cyst in his back, and sort of watching that, did MRIs, and they found that it is on his brain too. And that's one of the questions he said. He said, I just can't believe this happened to me, because he's very athletic, always has been, always is. Even one day this week, mustered through enough pain and all to go to... which game was it? the Giants, their farm team, California, the San Francisco Giants, their farm team, because he knows some players on that team. So they went. He wanted to go one more time before he starts his chemo on Monday and all. So they got him out there to that game then. So, you know, those are common responses, and it's not always because that we feel we're superior, but we feel like that our lifestyle is protective of that. Like an athlete, a runner who practices and runs all the time, and then she slips and falls in her living room, breaks her ankle. Or that physical buff, that physical fit person that just does everything, always in the gym, physical fit, and slips a disc, picking up a box of light bulbs or anything like that. Those are the things, you know, we think, well, how did that happen to me? And so a lot of times it's not just questioning God, we're just saying, how could this happen in our life? But suffering comes to all of our lives. And in our passage today, Peter speaks to the church abroad. He wrote this letter not just to any one particular church, like Paul wrote most of his to particular areas. Peter just sends this out to all Christians across the Roman Empire and beyond. And he in this passage, he speaks to the church abroad about suffering experienced and suffering to come. Now, to give a little history here, it is believed that Peter wrote this around 64 to 68 A.D. Rome burned right in during that time. I forget when it was, 62, 63, something like that. And Nero was emperor of Rome at that time. And Nero blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome. And so he's sending out decrees to punish and to cause Christians to suffer, even kill them. And so when he's writing, this is the main thing that's on his mind, even though he's understanding and realizes the other pain and suffering that we go through too. But he's referring a lot, or not just referring to, but he's got this on his mind. You're suffering maybe for a little while because of this. And so in verses 6 and 7, it says, "In this you rejoice," talking about what we talked about. "In this salvation, you have your salvation. Your salvation is being guarded by God Himself. He's guarding your salvation. It cannot be stolen." Remember last week we said that you'll never see a for sale sign in front of your mansion in heaven. It can't be done. Can't be sold. Can't be traded. Can't be taken away from you. And so he's writing this saying, "Now in this, rejoice that you have your salvation. Your salvation being guarded by God Himself. It can't be stolen. Can't be taken away. In this, rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Peter begins this section by telling believers to rejoice, even though you may face some suffering. Suffering may come to us through illness, through accidents. Suffering can also come to us, as we were talking about, through the words and the actions of other people and some of these other things that we mentioned a while ago. But sometimes, even those close to us, our closest family members, can bring suffering in our lives. A lot of times we don't intend to, but we hurt some of those who are the closest to us, our spouse or our children or our parents. And so suffering can come at the hands of anyone on this earth, because we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, and even those events that we call natural disasters, when you think about it, they're really not natural disasters. What they are the detriment of living in a fallen society, in a world that's fallen from God. Because if anybody had written down what happened in the Garden of Eden, you would have never seen natural disasters in the Garden of Eden. There were none. And there would have been none. But because of we live in a fallen world, even natural disasters are just those things that come because of the suffering, to bring suffering to us. Suffering comes to all of us. It's not because of karma. It's not because of fate. It was just his fate. It was his fate to face this or to face that. It's not because of some impersonable force of nature. Suffering comes to us not because, well, it's just his time. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, it's just my time. I mean, even I've said, Through some of this, I had another little incident back in September. I had 42 years of great health, not in the hospital. I went to the hospital one time for I got so sick, regurgitating, that I'd thrown my, as the doctor said, you threw your electrical system out of shop. But it returned itself fine within 2 days. I didn't have to go in the hospital or anything. So I had like 42 years of relatively good health. But then in September, I was in the hospital for something we thought was a stroke. It wasn't. And then with this come on. This, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes you see it here, people had a year of bad luck. Or a bad health, I mean, not luck, but bad health. And I said, maybe this is my year. So even I've said things like that, it's just my time. Now, I don't believe that it's just my time. It's fake. I don't believe that at all. I believe, like I've said in the past, that you do not suffer anything without God's knowledge. God knows. And God will walk you through it as long as we stay faithful to Him. And so suffering comes to us all. No suffering comes into any person's life without God's allowing it. And so anytime we suffer, no matter what it is, no matter how painful it is or how severe it is, it doesn't come into your life without God knowing it. And if you're a child of God and He has your salvation guarding it, you don't have to worry about what you're going through, even though, I mean, there is worry. We understand there's going to be that. But in verses 6 and 7, Peter uses the words trial and tested. You might say two cousins there, trial and tested. And God sometimes allows us those testings. He allows us to face suffering so that we can strengthen our faith. It's not to test us as in, okay, is Bill going to hold up through this? I want to test him. This is a test. But so it's to strengthen us. That testing he's talking about is not to see if, but to see how you're going to come through that, to help pull you through that. And so he says that he's using these two words. God allows us to face sufferings to strengthen our faith. And for this reason, Peter says, rejoice. Rejoice even in sufferings because God is allowing you to go through this. See, we can rejoice even when we face sufferings to strengthen our faith. We can rejoice because if God is allowing you to suffer or allowing me to face some type of suffering, then that means He's found me worthy or He's found you worthy of growing your faith. He said that whoever you are, you know, I can call anybody's name out and say, he's saying, okay, Brother Tony's going through this because I know Tony's ready to grow his faith. And I'm going to stretch Tony to this trial, whatever this suffering is, to strengthen his faith. And so he's growing our faith through sufferings. He's desiring us to be what we cannot see ourselves to be yet. He knows what we can be. He knows what He created us for. He knows the potential that we have. And so God is desiring us to be what we cannot see in ourselves yet. And a lot of times He does that through our suffering by allowing us to suffer. Now, while that may seem scary or even intimidating for some of us, we can rejoice because the God of the universe counted us worthy to face that trial, to face that, whatever that suffering may be. In chapter 4 of this same book, of the book of 1 Peter, he states, therefore, those who also suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator who is doing what is right. What a comforting statement I found that to be as I was studying this. Therefore, those who also suffer according to the will of God, when you're suffering according to the will of God, because God is allowing you to go through this and He's bringing you through this, when we suffer according to the will of God, we shall entrust our souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. The way we come through that, the way we handle that suffering, the way we handle that trial or that depression that we're going through or that bad season that we're going through with finances or whatever it is, I believe that's a comforting statement. And we are to rejoice in those times by praising God that He counts us worthy and that He allows us to go through the ordeals and the trials of life and suffering that we go through. He's not caught off guard, folks. In verse 7, Peter says that we are tested by trials to be purified, just as gold is purified in the refinery. Now, have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered your testing or your trials or your sufferings to be a refinery, that God's refining your faith to make you the best version of you possible? That's what Scripture's talking about. Here and other places, too, we read that it's being purified as gold is in a refinery. So it comes out pure gold. God wants you to be that pure. I mean, think about when you've been working outside, digging in the dirt, pulling weeds, and we're going to get to do that again this year. I'm convinced sometime this year, weather's going to get good enough where we can get outside and do that. But when you've been outside, you've been digging in the dirt, pulling weeds, or working outside all day, and you have a special event, something you got to go to that night, you go in, you get cleaned up, you wash up, right? I mean, we hope you do. You get cleaned up, you get washed up, you get a shower, bath, whatever, and get cleaned up, and you wash away all the unwanted matter from your outside of your body, right? Well, think of this as just as you clean up the outside, that's what God's doing to the inside. God is cleansing the inner part. And I don't know, you know, sometimes as I get ready to get in the shower, I say, God, just as the water washes the impurities from the outside, please wash the impurities from the inside. And I want God to do that for me. And that's what this said. He's doing this to us. God cleanses the inner part. And here Peter says he's not only washing away, he's purifying like gold. Again, that's just a great thought to me. That's why I love this when I started this last week. There's so many great things here that we can take comfort in. We can take encouragement in, and we can rejoice in because of what God is wanting to do in and through us. Our faith becomes more pure by going through the fire and the trials of suffering. How many of us like it? We all like suffering, right? I mean, we all yeah, God, give me some more. No, we don't like that, you know? I mean, we don't, but we have to learn to, okay, God, we're going through this. Let's go through it. Let me go. Yeah, I know you're walking with me through it. It may be painful. It may be a hardship for a while, whatever that is. We may have to eat beans for a week. But whatever it is, God, we're going to do it, and we're going to go through this. Let's walk through it. We're going through this to be purified. And much of the suffering that we endure, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual, it demonstrates the genuineness of our faith. How you walk through that and what you do in the midst of that and coming through that really does demonstrate the genuineness of your faith. And I know people that you would think, man, they've lost their faith during that time, or they didn't handle that very good, you know, when it came to the grind, what did they do? This is never more true, that statement. I'll go back and read that first. Much of the suffering that we endure, physical, mental, and spiritual, demonstrates the genuineness of our faith. And this is never more true than when we suffer for God. In the end, God is glorified, and our steadfast faith is pleasing to Him. And in Scripture, it talks about being a sweet aroma arising to Him, because we're glorifying Him through our actions and the way we are living in front of the world through whatever struggles and trials that we find ourselves going through. The evidence of God living in you is more clearly seen when you are squeezed by the trials of life. That's when God allows you to face those. Now let me share some of that again. The evidence of God living in you is more clearly seen by others when you are squeezed by the trials. When you're going through hardships, that's when people are really looking to see, let's see what that Christian is going to do through this. Let's see how that Christian person, that church-going person, that neighbor of mine or that coworker, let's see how they handle this one. I have a friend who's a pastor out in Oregon. He and his wife lived in Nashville for years, and he worked for the Nashville Baptist, the Tennessee Baptist Convention. She worked for Lifeway as she was really the head person for several years that dealt with deaf ministries around the country. And I had invited him out to do some training in California at a time or two. And Marcy and I had become good friends over the years, working together at different conferences all over, but they moved out to Oregon, where he's pastoring a church, and the church has just been growing and doing great. And I don't know, they're running 800 or something like that in the Northwest. That's almost unheard of. But he and his wife were back in Nashville, not this past December, but a year ago, this past December, helping their daughter move into a new apartment, taking a new job. And they came downstairs, Marcy and her daughter came downstairs, and somebody else that was helping them move, and they found Barry laying on the sidewalk. And he had been there, and there was someone there that was helping him that was part of the apartments, I think, and they were trying to do resuscitating, getting back, and he was out for a while, and the paramedics and the doctors told him when they got to the hospital, said, he's out for too long, and he will probably, if he does make it, he'll have severe brain damage. He'll never be the same. That was, I think, around the 12th, 11th or 12th or something like that of December. And 4 days later, Barry wakes up from the coma that he was in and starts witnessing to everybody in the hospital. He and his wife witnessed to 59, they counted them, and said at least 59 people in the hospital that they were able to, not just say this, that people in the hospital were coming to see the miracle man. That's what he had been named at Vanderbilt Hospital, the miracle man. I had to come and see the miracle man and see what was going on. And so he was there for about 2 weeks, and they were able to witness to 59 people. On Christmas Eve, he sat up in his hospital room and gave a message that was delivered over the internet to his church in Oregon. Unbelievable. But he truly was a miracle that he came through there just in that quickly. They said he would probably be a vegetable, not, you know, have a lot of brain damage, and he was back to himself. And I called him after he got back out there and talked to him and just texted, emailed back and forth with him. I shared part of his story, I think, on one of my blog posts last January. It was just amazing that what happened there. But see, the evidence of God living in you is more clearly seen when you're squeezed by the trials and sufferings of life than any other time. And God allowed Barry to go through that to share with so many people. So people coming from people that worked in other parts of the hospital. I don't know if you've ever been to Vanderbilt, but it's bigger than UK Hospital. It's bigger than Louisville's hospitals. It's bigger than Norton's system of hospitals. And there were people coming all over from all over the hospital because they heard about the miracle man and they wanted to see and hear from him. And everybody that walked in and said something, he shared his faith, man. He and his and Marcy both were sharing their faith. And that just made me feel so good, so encouraged to think that when I have done that and done that so quick. But as soon as he woke up, they said he was sharing with the whoever was sitting there, a nurse or somebody was in there messing with his monitors and stuff. And he woke up and just started sharing, asking her questions about her faith and started sharing with her. You see, folks, any true believer walking with the Lord through a trial is the light of Christ. How is the light of Christ shining through you and me as we face trials that God takes us through and what we do? Think on this. If Christians were free from suffering, if we didn't have to suffer, once you become a Christian, you never have to suffer, how many people would want to be Christian just so they would not have to face suffering? People would be coming to be Christian just so they wouldn't have to face suffering. They would. I mean, there are many people sitting in our churches today, or many people throughout the last six decades that walked an aisle during a revival or a church service or a summer camp because they wanted was fireproof insurance. And that's the same thing. People, if people thought Christians don't have to suffer, people would want to come to the church and get and be a Christian just so they could have their card stamped and say, I'm a Christian, don't have to suffer anymore. That's not the way it works, though, is it? As followers of Jesus, believers are not immune to suffering. In fact, the opposite is often true, isn't it? Believers suffer, as does everyone else, and sometimes believers suffer greater than some of our non-Christian friends. The difference is in a believer's suffering is that when we have suffering, we have the opportunity to show that God, through the Holy Spirit, lives inside us. And He's guarding our salvation. He walks with us through those trials. That's what Barry and Marcy were able to do. They were able to show God is the one that did this. No one could question it because what had happened was undeniably something from above. It could not have happened. It's not anything that man could have done. But when we walk that as Christians, as believers, the difference that we have is when we walk through sufferings, we have the opportunity to show others that God, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us and walks through us, walks with us through the trials, thus giving Him the glory. Our suffering glorifies God when we do that, when we do that. Let's pray for a minute. I've got more, but I want to pray. This just excites me enough to want to pray. Father, most gracious God Almighty, may we rejoice every day of this life, even though now for a little while, if necessary, we are grieved by various trials. Father, realizing these trials are used by you to prove the genuineness of our faith, as I walk through these trials and sufferings of life, walk beside me, Lord, purifying me, strengthening my faith that I might shine brighter than pure gold for you. Lord, your word teaches me that to you I am more precious than gold. Gold that has already been purified by fire. May my faith be found no result in praise and honor and glory. I'm sorry, may faith be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May I be counted as one of those who also suffer according to the will of God, thereby entrusting my soul to you, a faithful creator, in doing what is right. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter continues in this. He continues speaking of the unseen. Not only seeing the unseen, but he says believing the unseen. He says in verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. Talking to the churches abroad, talking to you and me. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In life, we oftentimes hear the saying that seeing is believing. Remember that? Hear that? Seeing is believing. Well, Peter actually flips that around. He says, believing is seeing. So he takes what the world says and he turned it around and said, with God, it's just the opposite. Believing is seeing. Now, Peter, we know, had not only seen God, he had walked with God, he'd lived with Jesus, he'd lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus, studied under the Lord Jesus. But none of the people that he was writing to had ever seen Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. Yet they believed without seeing. They believed Jesus. And you and I are recipients of this letter just like they were at the time that he wrote it. We're recipients of this same letter. And he states, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. See, by placing our trust in Jesus, a relationship was established. We've heard that all our lives as Christians, but a relationship is established with God the Creator. As we draw nearer to God in this relationship through Christ, God cultivates a joy that builds up from within us to face any trial that life throws at us. And we grow through those trials in our faith. And then in addition, we can rejoice in this life about the coming completion of our faith building. We're building our faith as we walk through this life. And we can rejoice about the coming completion of our faith building when Christ returns to take us home to glory in heaven, whether that's at the rapture or at God's allotted time for each one of us. What joy, what magnificence, what a beautiful picture, I think, this is painting, it was being painted by us, by this thought, by what Peter's talking about here. And this is what Peter is speaking of as he finishes out this thing. Obtaining, by doing all this we've just talked about, and all the sufferings and the trials that you may face, he says, by doing this, obtaining the outcome of your faith. What is the outcome of your faith? The salvation of your soul. The salvation of our souls, the salvation of your soul, to which Peter is speaking, is not only the spiritual, unseen part of you. What he's talking about, he's sharing of what happens at the completion of our faith-building experience on earth. The completion of our faith when Jesus returns. The completion of our faith results in a resurrected, glorified, Scripture says, body. A resurrected, glorified body that encompasses the physical, mental, and spiritual realms, your complete being. Kathy's over there just smiling as big as she can because she got it. She got it. She understood it. It's us. It's not just this part of me. It's not just the spirit part of me that no one's ever seen. It's the spiritual, it's the mental, it's the physical, it's a complete resurrected body through Christ, a glorified body. This body has been referred to as similar to the resurrected body of Jesus Christ that we celebrate every Sunday, as Mickey said, but as we celebrate next week, Resurrection Sunday. We will be with God and Christ forever in that glorified body. No sin has ever tainted that body, nor will it ever taint that body. And that's something to be excited about. And I get it. I'm loving this thing. This is the last week that we get to do it for a while, but I'm really enjoying it and loving it, and hope that you are too. And I want to close this time out with some prayer. Now, I'm going to speak to you real briefly before we close about something else. Father God, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the scripture that you give us. I thank you that we can be encouraged just by reading your scripture and understanding a little bit more and asking you to help us to understand it. And Father, though we do not see and have not seen Jesus in our lives, we believe in him. We rejoice in him and what you have done through him. Though we may not understand it, we may not think that if we were in your shoes that we would have done the same thing. So grateful for you, Lord, that what you've done through Jesus Christ for each one of us. And Lord, we are so full of joy that comes only from you. Continue to build that joy up inside us with inexpressible joy, filled with your glory, so that others may see us and understand that. So that, Lord, that as we experience these sufferings and trials and we go through life, even the good days that we have in life, Lord, that we can realize that we are obtaining the outcome of our faith, and that is moving toward the greater salvation plan of spending eternity with you in heaven. You have guard and are guarding the salvation of our souls. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quickly here before we go, just want to share a little bit about the Return to Me thing, study. Hope that you've already signed up. If you haven't, please log in online and do it, or you can find sign up, or you can do it out here. We're going to have a couple on Sunday night here at the church. I know at least one's going to be at church. That one's, I think, is full now. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. We've got a couple other leaders in here tonight that are also going to be leading those, find out where they are. But I'm going to find out. We've got a couple during the week that you will be able to attend, some for ladies. The ladies are attending, some for a lot of couples and mixed and that kind of thing. Not mixed up, just mixed. And so you can choose some of those and find those and attend them. We're going to have, I think, about five or six groups at least. If we need to add a couple more, I'll come to some of you and say, hey, we need another. Would you be willing to help host one or to lead one? So, and I'm hoping that we do have that. But there will not be a Sunday evening service. And so those of you that are meeting on Sunday, you can take that hour or whatever. There will be some here. There will be at least one here meeting at 6 o'clock. On Sundays or 6:30, I don't know. I'll talk to Daniel and find out. There will be, I think there's at least one more. I hope there's at least one more here on Sunday evenings. And if you're not meeting on Sundays, just sit home and pray. Go back through the six things that we did, 6 weeks of stuff there. I'm going to be trying to visit each one of the different groups and getting to those over the 7 weeks and doing those. Let us know. We need to know as quickly as we can, so make sure if you haven't signed up, you sign up so we know how many books we need to order. I will be ordering those first part of this week so we can get them in and get them ready to distribute for those. We probably will not distribute them next week. I haven't talked with Mickey and the staff about that yet, but in my opinion, that may get a little confusing with all the guests and everybody coming in, and so we're going to do that. And there is a charge for the book. We're going to discuss that tomorrow, but you don't have to pay. You know, I want to make this clear. It's costing the church $6 a piece. So if you can pay for the books, we want you to pay for the books. But I do not want that to keep anybody from taking this study. If I have to pay for them all myself, I'll do it because I don't want that to happen. And so that everyone does have to have their own book. Someone asked me today, said, well, we'll just use the same book. And I said, no, you can't do that because you have to write in it. You're going through it. What you're experiencing through that study. Each one, so every person, husband and wife, whoever, everyone has to have their own book, so we'll work on that, we'll work with that. But we'll get all that out to you this week as to what groups are meeting, where they're meeting, when they're meeting, that kind of thing. We're trying to get that together. I've asked several people today, and we'll try to get all that together so we can get that word out as quickly as possible so that you can make plans and don't get stuck with somebody you don't want to be with. Now, I hope that's not true, that you, whoever you're with, you rejoice and praise God that you get to, even if it's somebody that you're not used to being around, that you can say, you can rejoice in your suffering, right? That's what we talked about tonight. You can rejoice and that God has given you an opportunity to learn something about somebody new in the church and be there. So thank you all so much for your evening, for this time here. You're free to go. We prayed, and you can't pray enough, but we'll let you go this time. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.